Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
It's your favorite commercial. Do we call this commercial radio? It's your favorite commercial radio show. That's right. It's the Kaufman Show. Yes, Jay? An eye roll. I'm not 5 words into the show.
I didn't roll my eyes.
It's the Kaufman Show.
It's the Kaufman Show.
TSN 690. How's it going, everybody?
Not commercial.
How's it going, Jay Farrar?
I'm doing well, Dave Kaufman. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good.
I am great. Ready for a huge show tonight.
Huge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of things going on. A big day in Montreal. Somebody asked me if I was going to run for mayor now. We've announced...
Well, just about anybody can
well,
they?
I figure two in a row, it doesn't sound like a really good idea.
I don't think
that'll work.
No.
I don't think two in a row is the plan.
There's only so many of you. We don't, you know, we can't have you all as mayor.
Can I throw this gentleman's name in the race? He already
sure.
has a song and everything ready to go.
Good.
Quimby, if you were running for mayor, he'd vote for you. Paid for by the mayor, Quimby for mayor, mayoral committee.
There you have it. Mayor Quimby.
Might as well, huh?
I think it would at least be comical.
You know, there's a lot of things comical about this whole situation.
I could deal with somebody with a Kennedy accent running our town.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun. Chaudel! It's Chaudel, Jay. It's pronounced Chaudel.
Chaudel.
Jimmy, stop trying. If he was going to get through, he'd get through. We'll get in touch with Dave Zirin a little later.
Yeah,
I'm hoping
yeah.
to speak with Dave Zirin before, but we can give you the gist of it if you want.
Okay.
Redskins are bad.
Redskins are bad.
Istanbul should not have the Olympics.
Yes.
And baseball players should be on drugs.
Yes.
Our thanks to Dave Zirin. Follow him at Edge of Sports. We'll definitely get in touch with Dave soon, maybe a little later on the show, otherwise next week. J Jay, what is going on? We now are going to fill this beginning of the Kaufman Show.
Well, there's
show.
A lot of things going on.
You,
some interesting stories, despite, you know, aside from our mayoral incident this morning.
Well, I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty big one, man.
Yeah, it is, but...
How did the mayor of Toronto avoid getting arrested before the mayor of Montreal?
I don't know. It seems like somebody had it in for Mr. Applebaum, and some clear evidence was presented, and it was enough for them to slap the handcuffs on him.
And Sully Zeidel goes down as well. It's been an interesting day in the city of Montreal. We'll get back to that in a bit, but it's easy to segue about corruption and all the things that are wrong with the world with our next guest, who is the he epitomizes the intersection of culture and politics and sports. He is Edge of Sports on Twitter, and he's our favorite guest. It's Dave Zirin. Good evening, Dave.
Hi, it's great to be here. I'm sure you guys are talking about the news out of Chicago, CM Punk being back in the WWE. So I'm glad to be part of that discussion.
You know our audience so well, Dave.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago
made, baby.
We were just running through, if we weren't going to speak to you, we were running through the points of what we wanted to talk about with you tonight, because it just brings such great fodder. And, you know, we talk about Chicago, and of course there was the hockey game tonight with Chicago and Boston, and some sort of a wrestling thing that you're alluding to. But, you know, I think back to, not that I remember it, but I've seen more than enough video of it, of the convention in 68. And, you know, similar scenes coming out of Istanbul this week, Dave,
mm-hmm.
with youth getting the crap beaten out of them. I've never seen
Brazil
tear gas.
Well.
Well, yeah, and Brazil as well, exactly. And I'd love to get into that with you, if you don't mind. But I'll tell you, I was watching, it was up very late one night last week, filing a story and watching BBC World News. And it was early morning in Istanbul. And I've never seen tear gas like that in my life. Just volley after volley after volley of tear gas. And this city wants the Olympics?
Yeah, well, it's very intricately connected and intimately connected as well. Istanbul, before this protest movement started, was the front runner for the 2020 Olympics. So much going for them for being that Olympic city in 2020. And yet, if you look historically, every time a city has tried to put itself forward for the Olympics, there's some sort of struggle and some sort of crackdown. And the crackdowns have become, in effect, like an audition for the International Olympic Committee to show that, yeah, we will police dissent with extreme prejudice. And there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever. I mean, it would be insane. I mean, Erdogan, honestly, would have to have the intelligence of a kitten. And he's not. He's a very smart guy. That's Prime Minister Erdogan. If he's not talking in his cabinet about how the heaviness of the crackdown affects their Olympic chances and their Olympic bid. And it would be insanely naive for us to think they're not in conversation with the International Olympic Committee about how they're handling the protests right now. Because this has now become, in the 21st century, look at the places that have been getting the Olympics in recent years. Look at the places. I mean, it's places, it's the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, not India yet, but they have also hosted some mega sporting events, and China.
Mm-hmm.
And what they all have in common is that they've shown a willingness to displace citizens, a willingness to bust their budgets, and a willingness to smash anybody who gets in their way.
We also saw that with Greece and, to a certain extent, with the military takeover of London last summer.
Oh, absolutely. But even like with the case of London, they got those Olympics just after 9/11. They were awarded those games. I mean, I'm particularly talking about just in the last 5 years or so. It's become just a whole new ballgame in terms of who actually has a chance to get the Olympics anymore. I mean, the countries that are now trying to get it also. I mean, it's like in the last round, like Qatar, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Qatar is a place that's 120 degrees in the shade, for goodness sakes. And they're going to think that's going to be a good Olympic site. But what does Qatar have? It has billions of dollars. And it can host it like a veritable police state. So it's like Beijing, in effect, with more infrastructure spending.
Was it Qatar that was going to have World Cup matches where they were talking about how I can't remember exactly, but it was an Arabic country that was a dry country, alcohol-wise, mm-hmm. and that they were going to allow booze to be served basically as a one-off.
Yeah, no, that's exactly correct. I believe that was Doha, that's the capital of Qatar. We're going to do that. And this is something that you see over and over again, because what the mega events bring is what they call states of exception. the ability to go in and run roughshod over the populace. And that's what's happening in Brazil right now. I mean, you mentioned Istanbul and gassings. Today in Brazil, hundreds of thousands of people were in the streets. I mean, hell, I even got a call from a buddy, Union Square in New York City. You might know where that is, 14th Street, right where Greenwich Village starts.
Absolutely.
Calls me up. He goes, yo, there's like 300 people here. They seem to be all entirely Brazilian, marching in solidarity with what's happening in Brazil right now. Like signs in Portuguese. I mean, and a lot of the signs referencing the World Cup and the Olympics.
Wow. Did this make headline news in the States today?
Wire reports, not nearly as much news as it should have made. I mean, because, I mean, Brazil is now one of the largest economies on earth. And that's what these Olympics, the fact, I mean, this is so insanely rare to host the World Cup and Olympics rat-tat-tat in rapid succession, one after the other. The only other one I can even think of that's ever even done it was the United States when they did the 94 Cup and then the 96 Olympics.
Right.
Even that was different because the 96 Olympics were in Atlanta and they didn't have any of the World Cup games. Meanwhile, Rio is going to be the epicenter of the World Cup and, of course, the site of the Olympics.
And a city where so many people won't be able to afford to take part in the Olympic experience.
It's got the – I was there in September. I mean, to sum up Rio de Janeiro in one sentence, I'll say that the Starbucks had an armed guard in front of him.
Wow.
As, just to give you an idea, when you got a guy packing eats, you can get your latte. That tells you a lot about Rio. I mean, but the crazy thing is, like, it's also an obviously, like, incredibly beautiful city, amazing people, but they're using the opportunity. It's also, like, on a river of money that's from real estate speculation. And so the property values are insanely overvalued and through the roof. And this is a function of that. This World Cup and the Olympics and the importance of seeing them there, importance of getting them there, importance of renting out some of these new hotels that they're building that have very low occupancy. I mean, there's a lot of skin in the game in Rio right now, and there's also a lot of people who are kind of fed up.
Dave, aside from the locations of these Olympics, have you found that the Olympics themselves have become a bit of a hypocrisy? I mean, I've been more and more disconcerted with every Olympics that have passed. It doesn't seem it's the way it's supposed to be or the way that it used to be. They're talking, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars to try and get it. And when the ceremony actually comes, it seems to be a little bit preachy and just unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right to say that it's not how it used to be. I mean, because it's simply not. You know, the 1984 games that were in Los Angeles,
yeah.
The United States was the only country on earth to even want the Olympics for 1984.
Wow.
The only one on earth, partly because, you know, Montreal was such a money loser. Munich, of course, yet not just the terrorism, but it was also a financial disaster. And a kind of conventional wisdom had developed. Moscow was like a doping scandal utopia of doping. I mean, it was nuts. And a conventional wisdom really did develop that said, you don't want these things here. But
yeah,
Peter Uberoth showed how to monetize.
Right, exactly.
And that was the pivot upon which so much has turned since those 84 Olympics.
Yeah, and Jay and I were.
You could argue,
Jay and I spoke with Dick Pound about that, Dave, and who was one of the architects of it. And you know, it grew so big, it grew too big.
Yeah,
well, it's the whole thing. It's like destroying the village in order to save it, or the Olympics are dead. Long live the Olympics! I mean, the Olympics really did die with Peter Uberoth's economic model, but you could also argue that they would have died if he hadn't come up with the idea of how to turn this into a corporate utopia.
We are talking about things that never change and stay the same, or things that change completely on The Kaufman Show with Dave Zirin. Follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports. And we're going to shift the conversation right now to my favorite, which is Major League Baseball. Dave has a revolutionary...
We were going to talk more about Dick Pound.
We could. Hey, you tell me your favorite Dick Pound movie, and I'll watch it after the show, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
But I do want to talk a little MLB with you because you've come up with a very controversial look at it, and I don't think it's facetious. I think I know you well enough to know that this is actually what you believe.
Oh, yeah. No. It has to do with the aftermath of the doping biogenesis, quote-unquote, scandal that showed 24 to 36, who knows how many, major league players passing through biogenesis. facing huge penalties, getting hit with what Major League Baseball calls in Orwellian fashion. This is so Orwellian, a non-analytical positive, which means it's like a positive test, except you didn't really test positive for it. And I look at this thing, I have the polar opposite reaction of Buster Olney of ESPN, who described this as a great victory for baseball because they're showing the world how tough they are in performance-enhancing drugs. And I heard Buster say that, and I said, wait a minute, isn't this a total disaster for Major League Baseball? Because it shows that with all their increased testing, they couldn't get one of these players really to come up dirty. I mean, 24 to 36, just like that, bam, right through the net, no problem whatsoever. And so what I wrote was about the issue of decriminalization and performance-enhancing drugs, totally not facetious in the least, because my starting point was, look, we have to stop looking at this as some moralistic crime and punishment issue and start looking at it as a public health issue. I mean, it is a problem that several dozen Major League Baseball players had drugs administered to them by somebody who's not a doctor, who undoubtedly also gave them masking agents, which are incredibly dangerous, so they could beat the tests. And shouldn't be the very least the first concern of the union should be about the health of the players. And any doctor worth their salt will tell you that when it comes to these performance enhancers, the health danger is abuse, not use. The health danger is taking them in the shadows. The health danger is doing it in places like Biogenesis, which is really just a step above a back alley when you're talking about any sort of real medical facility. So that was the argument, and the argument was saying, like, and if we're going to, like, the benefits of decriminalization also is that Major League Baseball could centralize it, could actually get doctors to distinguish. I mean, why is it a bad thing that there is medication that allows you to heal faster or allows you to train more efficiently? Why is that a bad thing? Yet LASIK eye surgery is a good thing. Why have we decided that some things are good and other things are bad? And the thing I was putting forward was the idea that Major League Baseball could centralize what PEDs they recognize as legitimate and what ones they don't, and then have a real method for actual enforcement, while at the same time dragging a lot of this stuff out of the shadows, which would make for a healthier game.
So when you're commissioner, this will happen, because it probably won't happen before that, right?
Well, I'm planning on being the next commissioner of Major League Baseball. I mean, at least that's the whole life plan.
Can you put your Washington Nationals allegiances aside and make sure we get a ball club back up here?
Well, for the first move, we'll be changing the name of the Washington Nationals to the Redskins.
There you go.
That'll be move one.
Nice. A Redskins-Indians World Series. That would just make you so happy, wouldn't it?
We're going all in on dehumanization and disrespect, like all in. For Major League Baseball, the future.
Well, I'm a New York Jews fan, personally,
Dave. Montreal.
Yeah, I'm a big New York Jews fan, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to shift allegiances like that. It's insane,
eh? That'll be a tough call for you.
It's nuts.
I got to tell you, though.
It's nuts.
If I was commissioner, I would totally have a team in Montreal in like half a heartbeat.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer.
Second.
Getting closer every single day. There is a groundswell right now, and it hasn't gone away. I keep waiting for it to go away, and it doesn't go away, and that's great. But let's go back to this Redskins, Indians, Braves, ridiculousness. You had a huge article in Grantland this week, and basically it was an open letter to Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, saying enough is enough. And, you know, it's an interesting debate, Dave, because it's hard for people to change their minds when they're so convinced that they're right. And it's hard for people to understand why a team would keep this name when they're so convinced that they're wrong. And there is no middle ground on an issue like this. They either keep the name Redskins or they don't. And right now it seems like they're going to keep it, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I said this on ESPN, so I'll say it here. I think the name's going to change, or at least a name change is going to be announced in the next 5 years. And, you know, I'll be happy to come on the show and say I'm wrong if that proves to be the case. But I really do think in the end they're going to be a victim of their own success. I mean, obviously a lot of this is predicated on RG3 staying upright.
Right.
But this is a quarterback-driven league, and he's that good. And the more nationally relevant they are, the more it's going to be discussed, and the more it's discussed, the more pressure there's going to be, not so much on Dan Snyder, who has an ear made of tin, and a heart and a brain to match, but it will be pressure on Roger Goodell. I mean, he really swung and whiffed this past week when 10 members of Congress sent him a letter about changing the name, and they're on the Native American subcommittee of the U.S. Congress. And his response was, like, what this name is a symbol of respect and unity throughout the D.C. area.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, even people who support the name were like, yeah, that's not really how you make the argument. And it's like, it was never meant to provide any disparagement. And it's like, yeah, so you got to know about George Preston Marshall, the original owner. I mean, a guy made Adolph Coors look like Dorothy Day. I mean, it's not something you want to mess with. If you're talking, defending the name Redskins, the winning argument is not history.
No, it's not.
It's not even about it being a disparaging name. It's about it just being antiquated. It's just old and ignorant. You know,
which is why, in my mind,
in a museum,
along with the Washington Bullets, and the city was so sensible when it came to that, and it seemed like the city of Washington came together and said, "Enough is enough. We are a violent city, and this cannot represent us." And I'm waiting for that same groundswell to come, and I guess that you're too close to the Mason-Dixon line or something. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be this just keeping with tradition. And the importance of tradition.
Somehow it became sacred.
And you know what, Dave? It's not so different than the turban fiasco that was going on up here. Just in the sense that people want to hold on to their ideals and what they think represents them best.
I need to talk to you about that. You wrote a fantastic article about that.
Well, good. You and I are the only two who saw it.
Yeah, I know. The folks that where I work, the Nation, the guy liked it, but he said, "We don't think there's a place for it here." Sorry to say this on the air.
That's okay.
But the point is, it's really good, and we got to keep pounding away at this stuff.
You're on, man. I will. I'll keep sending them.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure to write, knowing that you were the audience. I thought that was very cool.
Put it up on a blog, though. Put it up. Get it public out there. I'll tweet it out. I'll Facebook it.
You're on, Dave.
There
you're
you
on.
Go.
We'll get it out there. And
this is the age of internet egalitarianism if we fight for it.
Dave, I'll let you in on a little secret. We were going to announce it in 10 minutes, but Jay Farrar and I are both going to be starting our own internet radio shows in about a week's time.
Get out of here.
Yes,
are
sir.
You serious?
Yes, sir. Uncensored,
nice.
Ready to go. Mine is Kaufman and Spry with Mike Spry from the Barnstormer, Canada's sports literary website. Jay's is
The Farrar Side.
Oh, that's better than mine that I had for you, Jay. It was good. I thought you'd call it not that Jay Farrar.
Yeah. There is that, too, but I'm trying to separate myself from the great country singer that he is.
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling him now?
Yes.
You're in Wilco, you're a great country singer?
Sure, why not?
I guess it was Sunvolt, right? Not Wilco.
It was, and Wilco.
But no, not that Jay Farrar.
Not that Jay Farrar, yeah.
I had this great, you could call it Funvolt. No, that's the worst name ever.
Funvolt.
Well, Dave, needless to say, we're going to be continuing the Kaufman Show as long as TSN 690 will allow us. But
fantastic.
We'll definitely have to have you over on the web, where we can speak a little bit more freely and go back to those great dirty jokes you used to end the segments on.
Oh my God, I they're building up in me in a terrible way. I'm
waiting for an uncensored human centipede reference, which will be awesome.
Well, that's how I'm built up. Like, I'm in the human centipede. And let's just stop right now.
Deal. Dave Zirin is the editor of The Nation. He you can find him on Grantland. He's on ESPN all the time. And thank goodness, because without it, they'd just be talking Tebow, and it would be horrible. Follow him on Twitter at Edge of Sports, one of the best and our favorite guest. Thank you, Dave.
My privilege, fellas.
We'll speak soon. There he goes. Play me some music, Jimmy. You know who's coming to town?
Who's coming?
These guys on Saturday. This is my favorite band.
Tragically Hip?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At the Lachine Canal.
Yeah.
Gonna be some Lake Fever happening. Our thanks to Dave Zirin for appearing on the show. Really is my favorite guest. Sorry to all you other guests. Sorry to Torben Rolfson, who's coming up in a bit. Sorry to Mike Spry, who's coming up before that. My future co-host on Kaufman and Spry. Follow the Kaufman and Spry Twitter account.
I think my future co-host...
Kaufman and Spry.
Sorry. I think my future co-host is coming on, too.
I hear your... Well, if the internet tells me the truth, he's going to be dropping in.
Oh, really?
Well, unless he means dropping in your earbuds.
I think it's in a metaphorical sense.
Deal. Well, right. Either way, we'd love to have Anakin Slade, the co-host of the Farrar Side, in studio, on the phone. However we can... We'll take him however we can get him.
Kaufman and Spry has a nice sound
to it. It does, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You wait and see. We'll be back with Mike Spry on The Kaufman Show.
Listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
We are back on The Kaufman Show. That's Lake Fever by The Hip. 2000s music at work. You know, we have a lot of signs in this town that summer is upon us. Jazz Fest, Just for Laughs, Franco Folie. Most of them involve a festival. I guess soon we can signify it with the arrivals of food trucks. Construction is a big sign that summer's here. But across the country, I feel like there's one sign that summer is here, and it's that The Hip are coming to town. Playing a show. Very few things bring our country together like The Hip do. Hockey's a good one. But there are very few things that unite this fragmented country. We're pretty different.
Yeah.
Across this country, we are pretty different. Joe Saskatchewan and Dave Quebec are two pretty different people. One of the things that bonds us together is that band. For me, at least. And, you know, walk down the street in Toronto and they're the freaking Beatles. So,
yeah,
I know Quebec is different. Shockingly, it's as if we're some sort of a distinct society in some way, shape or form.
Still, just, you know, Quebec loves The Hip just like the rest of the country does. I've noticed that anyway.
I thought it was a rest of Canada thing until I saw The Hip play a show in front of 15,000 screaming fans in Trois-Rivières.
Yeah.
And then
in Trois-Rivières, imagine.
In Trois-Rivières, yeah.
15,000.
Festival de Vocal de l'Art in 2006, I think it was, or 2007, with Steve Hill, who's an amazing Trois-Rivières blues guitarist, opening the show.
Knowing every lyric, too, I'm
ridiculous,
sure.
It was ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
It was, I have not felt as Canadian as that. And for you, your moment, I imagine, would be Woodstock. One of the most Canadian moments you ever felt in upstate New York.
That is. I mean, if anybody knows me well, I'm not much of a patriot. But that day, it was hard not to be, as Canadians lined up in front of the stage and wouldn't allow anybody without a Canadian form of identification to pass through into the front, into the pits.
A story that you told to Paul Langlois from The Hip on this show last October when the newest album came out.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one on Saturday, and I hope to see you all there. In the meantime, got a big announcement to...
What?
Although we trumped ourselves 5 minutes ago when we told Dave.
We did, but we had to tell Dave.
That's right. I mean, it's Dave's diary.
It was our chance to try and get him as a guest, both of us.
Exactly. Let's bring in Mike Spry, though, who you all remember from his time co-hosting The Kaufman Show when Jay Farrar was sick. He also is on Play with AJ on MTV. He is the editor-in-chief of The Barnstormer, and he is the co-host of Kaufman and Spry. Hello, Mike.
G'day, sirs.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm standing outside to make this call because Jimmy and I were having some problems with my reception. So if I get mauled by a bear in the dark in the middle of this conversation...
Then what happens to Kaufman and Spry?
My will has been sent to Jay Farrar, and it'll explain everything.
Okay.
You better send me the passwords for the Twitter profile before the bear eats. And this is the trick, Mike. You got to always have somebody else with you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun your friend.
That's the problem when you live by yourself in the woods, sir.
Well, we're going to fix that soon. We're going to send you down to Montreal, and we're going to do a radio show.
We are. I'm moving back. I'm moving home. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, Kaufman and Spry.
So what is this Kaufman and Spry nonsense? Tell our audience.
Well, it's going to be, it's going to be keeping some of the sensibility that you guys do on your show, and a little more no holds barred, no rules, and we're going to talk about sports and culture and politics and music and literature and whatever we want to talk about on any given show.
How cool. How cool is that?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it a lot. We're kicking off soon. It's all happening.
Next Tuesday.
That's right.
If not sooner, but next Tuesday. And
wow.
Jay.
Yes?
You got something on next Tuesday too, don't you?
I do as well.
In the same studio.
It will be the premiere of The Farrar Side. The same day. In the same studio, so maybe we'll pass by.
I'm sure.
Yeah, each other. We'll pass each other, and hopefully Spry won't be bear shit by then. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah,
we're all hoping.
Then it's going to be Kaufman. The Kaufman Show on TSN, and followed by Kaufman.
Just keep the name. It's very easy.
Oh, we're really looking forward to it, Mike. I can't wait to get started with you, and... In the meantime, you have a whole bunch of stuff going on. You had a great segment on Play with AJ on MTV last week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't look like a deer in headlights like I did on my first episode.
Thank goodness. Gets easier each time, man.
Yeah, and I was sober, so I don't know. I may have figured out something new. I'll share my secret as soon as I figure it out. But yeah, I was lucky enough to become, I believe, their first two-time segment champion on the 30 Seconds of Fame. And, I had some fun answers. We had a good time. It's a great crew up there with MTV on Play with AJ, with AJ Silvani. And I love going up to Toronto and hanging out with those guys and doing that show. And not this Thursday, but next Thursday, they're going to run my first video essay on the show.
Awesome.
Which should be a lot of fun, using my text and playing with a lot of visuals that the good folks at TSN are going to provide them. And
they are good folks. They do good work.
Yeah, man, I can't tell you too much about it, but it's called, the title of the piece is called Hockey Zealotry, so I'm sure it's going to make everyone who thinks I hate hockey more concerned about my hate love for hockey.
This sounds like it's going to be similar to Lisa's cesspool on the Potomac.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
cesspool, was... cesspool, cesspool, yeah. Cesspool.
Yeah, that was my essay's spirit animal.
Now, when you were in Toronto, you also had the big Barnstormer party, right?
I did. We had our 1 year anniversary, which is amazing. We had a really good turnout down at Who Writes to the Colonel, and we also launched the ebook version of our viral sensation, Cheap Throat, Diary of a Locked Out Hockey Player, which is an ebook from Found Press, which you can find at foundpress.com or find the link off thebarnstormer.com. And it's a great collection. It's what an anonymous hockey player did during the lockout. It appeared in the Barnstormer during the fall, and yeah, we packaged it up and did some edits, added some new stuff, and it's like Five Easy Pieces meets Slapshot meets Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and it's a fun read, so I hope people check it out. It's $5 cheap.
It's going to be so timely again in 8 years, Mike.
Yeah, well, and it yeah, we'll keep rolling it out.
Volume 2.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just change the dates. Everything will be fine.
Well, Mike, I got to say, I'm really looking forward to working with you, starting this thing up. And, you know, the Kaufman Show will remain. Jay and I are really excited to continue to bring you the Kaufman Show as long as TSN will allow us. But meantime, Kaufman and Spry, man, we got big things going on.
It's kind of like the X-Men getting their own individual titles, you know?
Well, exactly.
It's the spinoffs, you know?
Let's just hope we're more Fraser than Joni Loves Chachi.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more Archie Bunker's place than, I don't know, Maude.
We will not be jumping sharks on Kaufman.
No,
and
we
Spry.
Won't. We won't.
It is my guarantee.
Don't get ahead of
yourself. You never know.
Maybe one day. When we sell out.
I'm ready to sell it.
That's a long way away.
You are,
well, you need to be patient. That's going
to
happen down the road, my friend.
Right.
Well, I'll see you later this week. And Kaufman and Spry on Twitter. Big things happening.
Sounds good. Take care, boys.
You too. That's Mike Spry. Follow him on Twitter as well at MD Spry. This is The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. You can also hear The Kaufman Show on iTunes. You can hear it at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. I am at The Kaufman Show on Twitter. Jay is at The Farrar Side. And after the break, we'll be joined by Anakin Slade, the stalwart.
Explanation for anything important any of us do. And yeah, the human tragedy consists in the necessity of living with the consequences under pressure.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
This is about a man, huh? Sitting down on his luck. So he takes to the street, shaking a banana at people. Trying to convince them that it's making a sound. And sobers up and starts to scream and shout. A little dose of home fire, but I'm all smoothed out. Melancholy wine soaked tenderness. She hated it here, all she couldn't care less. Prison yard stairs and fleur-de-lis tattoos. Cannibals are saving all the bones for soup. Eating with my fingers and sucking holes of shells. My parasite don't deserve no better than that.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. I don't usually bring our next guest in on songs that he isn't featured on, but it's a tragically hip kind of night at The Kaufman Show. They're in town on Saturday. I know he's seen them.
Sure, I saw.
Your brother texted me during the hip set at Oceaga to say how amazing they were, to validate my taste in music.
Yes.
Which means a lot coming from a
We saw them together. Artist. I was standing right next to him.
It's a good show, wasn't it?
It was.
It was
really
too short.
Was.
That was the problem with that show. It was only an hour.
Yeah.
And interesting story behind that, actually, is that it would have been even shorter. But City and Color shortened their set to about 15 minutes so that The Hip could play for an hour.
Wow.
Lead singer of City and Color is Dallas Green, who is the biggest Gord Downie fan, and wanted to make sure that they got their due. And because of that, City and Color achieved something that has not been done at Oceaga. They've played back-to-back years.
Hmm.
The festival brought them back the following summer as a thank you. So without any further ado, it's Anakin Slade, the co-host of The Farrar Show, starting next Tuesday. The Farrar Side. Sorry, The Farrar Side. Yeah. The Kaufman Show, The Farrar Side. We'll get there eventually, Jay. Hello, Anakin.
Hey, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
Well, bro, you remember the other time we saw Tragically Hip, right?
Yeah, I spoke about it earlier at Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when they weren't letting anybody buy unless you had some kind of Canadian identification?
That's right, exactly, yeah.
Good times.
Well,
patriotic moment. They were actually better then, I think, than they were at Oceaga, as far as I remember. They put on a reel.
I think you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you what, that was only a half an hour set.
Yeah.
Somebody had to make way for Kid Rock and Dave Matthews Band that day.
Mm-hmm.
You mean Kid Rock didn't give up his 15 minutes?
No. Kid Rock don't move for nobody.
Limp Bizkit, no?
Maybe. He was asked to move because the stage was on fire. Maybe that's what happened.
That could have happened. That is not far-fetched, my friend.
I have no problem with you playing other people's songs when you intro me because I'm so tired of hearing my sad... It's such like a downer. It's like, he's looking at you. I'm like, oh, God. I'm so sad now.
I'll tell you, man, I was not in the mood to listen to something sad today. And I had listened to Kid a couple of times over the weekend. But today we're going to go with pumped up music. And we'll bring you in on some Slade next time.
Excellent.
But in the meantime, we've got big news. We were just talking about Kaufman and Spry starting on June 25th. But hey,
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And I'll tell you, I'm really excited about it. And I imagine you must be really excited to do this show with your brother.
It's amazing. Like, it's something that, I mean, you know, I've been bugging him. I mean, when I was in music and he wasn't in radio yet, you know, he knows that I was on his ass all the time about getting into radio because he had a great voice and so opinionated, just seemed a perfect fit for him. And now, you know, not even that long after, I mean, it's been what, two years?
Just
years
about.
Since you actually jumped on radio regularly, and now here you are with your own show. And you know, we talked about maybe one day having a show together, and it seemed like, you know, kind of a pipe dream. And here it is. And we're just going to get to, like I tell people, it's like we have a radio show every week, every couple of days when I come to the bar and sit down and have a beer. And then we talk about, hey, did you see this movie? Did you see the Habs this week? And, you know, we go through our own little radio show, you know, three or four times a week. So why not kind of like, you know,
and that's,
show the rest
and,
of the world what
and
we're talking about?
That's exactly what the premise of the show is going to be. It's going to be a little bit loosey-goosey. It's just me and my bro having some fun, playing some good tunes. It's going to be obviously a lot more edgy than you hear me here on the Kaufman Show. And we're going to, you know, maybe not, won't be so as well-read or intellectual as Kaufman and Spry. It'll be kind of like heavy metal rock and roll radio, I think.
Jay has such a foul mouth. It's basically going to be 2 hours of foul-mouthedness.
I pick my spots. Yeah, we're not going to go to the lowest common denominator, but
of course not.
We are going to piss off some people, and we're going to make sure that we do.
He's also very racist. He's going to let the world know. No, of course not.
Wow.
That was the Ricky Gervais joke. Wasn't that Colin, who is the guy from the King's Speech? And he said, right before he introduced him,
Colin Firth?
Yeah, Colin Firth is like a wonderful actor, also very racist. Mr. Colin Firth, and he came out. It was a great joke at the Golden Globe.
Oh, well, if you have to explain it, though, it just, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Ricky Gervais kind of racist. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, you're an awkward racist.
I'm an awkward racist.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, the best kind.
Ironic racism.
And just one more thing before we go on. Our second show, hopefully, should I say it, bro?
Yes, no, it's from what I've heard, it's a confirmation.
All right.
This will be July 2nd.
This will be July 2nd. It will be show number two of the Farrar Side.
What's going on?
Special guest host, Jay Baruchel.
Hey, all right. Where'd you get that idea?
I don't know.
I spoke to Jay today, and basically he wanted to come on the first show, but it's the same day as his Just for Last Gala next week. So
Really? They're starting that early?
Yeah, I was surprised, too.
It's earlier this year.
Oh, boy, I better get on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. You scooped Baruchel from me with your first get. Nice job, guys.
Yeah, don't steal our get. You can have Zyron and I'll have Baruchel, okay?
You know what?
It's a fair trade-off.
That is a fair trade-off.
All right.
Yes, it is. Guys, I'm so excited for our side. It's going to be so much fun. And, you know, I'm sure you guys will be making little appearances on my show, and I'll be making appearances
absolutely.
On yours.
Absolutely.
Crossovers. Crossover classic.
Crossover. Right. Superman meets Spider-Man.
The Flintstones meet the Jetsons.
Perfect.
Anakin Slade, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you soon, man.
Anytime. I'm looking forward to being a radio regular like you guys.
Good stuff. I think the chops for it.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
You're going to go far, kid. Nah.
Good luck to you and Mike as well.
Thank you so much. We'll speak soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Defend, destroyer, limps, and bay.
Our thanks to Anakin Slade. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Torben Rolfson. A couple of calls. My goodness, it might end early tonight.
An abbreviated version of the Kaufman Show.
Shudder. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Maybe it's on iTunes. Maybe it's at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com, which, by the way, thank you all. We just reached 60,000 visits.
60,000.
That's right.
That's nice.
It was at only, it took a year to do 10,000. And in the half year since, there's been another 50.
Really?
Life is good, Jay Farrar. People seem to like what we are trying to do.
That's a nice pace.
It is. It is. And only growing. And one of the reasons, as we determined last week when we spoke to Brad, a longtime listener of the show we ran into on the way to the Stones, he said his favorite part of the show is coming right up. It's our comedy segment with our in-house comedian, Torben Rolfson. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy, live from Vancouver, BC. It's Torben Rolfson. Hello, sir.
Hey, Dave. How's it going, Jay?
We're great.
Good.
Good.
What's going on?
Not too much. I'm looking forward to listening to your show later.
Well, it's a good one.
Yeah, and you didn't eat overtime tonight, so you're right on schedule.
Oh, so happy. And in fact, not only we will not be going into overtime either, you can get those calls coming in right now because we're going to have an early night. Jay and I are tired, and we are ready for bed. But first, we need to laugh. Make us laugh, Torben.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Okay, well, at least give us some brief witty observations then.
Okay. Well, like everybody else, I've been watching the playoffs, and I have to say that I think Patrick Kane has the worst playoff beard ever.
Why?
Oh, he looks like an Amish Cub Scout.
There you go.
or an extra from Whoville in The Grinch.
There you go. The Jimmy meter.
Jimmy. You know, it was odd enough that the NHL announced some major award winners at 5:30 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, but by a town crier in Times Square. I was half expecting Neil Patrick Harris to show up.
Was that a Tony Awards joke?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Is it even a joke?
I don't know. A friend of mine won a Tony last week. Congrats to Adam Blanchet of Westmount, Quebec on winning a Tony Award for Kinky Boots. Yeah, that's right. We just talked theater on The Kaufman Show.
Very nice.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Just a Broadway play called
Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots.
Kinky Boots.
Shocking.
The music was by Cyndi Lauper.
Of course it was.
Yes. Yes, we're playing to our audience. You know, we're like right back to the Behind the Candelabra from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Hi, Torben.
I was on that note, I was forced against my will to watch one of the worst movies I've ever seen this weekend.
Which one?
Mamma Mia.
Oh, man. Your girlfriend must be really nice.
I was going to say, can you tell I was stuck in a cabin with two women?
There you go.
Getting back to hockey.
Yes!
A report said that Dustin Byfuglien weighed 302 pounds at the end of Winnipeg's season. Did you see that?
No, but wow.
He actually gained weight during the year. How is that possible? It's a good thing the Jets missed the playoffs. There's no telling what might have happened.
Turn into Mo Vaughn.
Yeah, the good news is the Blue Bombers have added him to their protected list.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And rumors are heating up again about the possibility of the Coyotes leaving Phoenix for Seattle. That would be the most significant relocation to the Emerald City since Eddie Vedder moved up from San Diego.
Nice. I like it.
In the NFL, NFL announced a new rule banning purses from inside stadiums. In retrospect, Chad Johnson fell out of the league just in time. Ocho Cinco, he travels with more props than Carrot Top.
Wow. You know, this is the second time today that Chad Ocho Cinco has come up.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not, I had a conversation with my sister tonight about Chad Ocho Cinco.
It's the fourth time that Carrot Top's come up in my day. So.
Torben is killing it on the Kaufman Show. What's next?
Patriots owner Robert Kraft claims that Vladimir Putin stole his Super Bowl 39 ring when he was in Russia in 2005.
How crazy is that?
I know, it's crazy, but it's not too surprising because Putin looks like he's related to Gollum.
precious ring.
We'll see if Ludmilla goes after all the jewelry in the divorce.
Nice.
The biggest fight over sports memorabilia since OJ led SEAL Team 32 into that Vegas hotel room.
Oh, wow.
Finishing strong.
Wow.
Wow, Torben.
And Allen Iverson has been accused by his ex-wife of kidnapping their five kids and keeping them in a Georgia hotel room. Well, he does have a history of kidnapping the ball from teammates.
Wow. Wow.
U.S. Open.
Uh-huh.
The Phil Mickelson narratives had more red eye content than a reggae festival. And finally,
you like the pot jokes, AJ?
Yeah.
Finally, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, they'll open the 2014 MLB season in Sydney, Australia.
Uh-huh.
It will be a joint event with WrestleMania 30.
Jeez.
Can I tell you where I went with that one? I was on with Simon Salikas talking baseball last week.
Uh-huh.
And I related, it was the day after the brawl, and they announced that these two teams are going to Australia. And to me, it just sounded like they've developed or adopted the British crime philosophy of the 19th century.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. That's a great bit, right?
You got to work on the phrasing of it, because I had just totally screwed it up now. But trust me, at the time, man, it was funny.
Put them in the Thunderdome.
No, that is a good way to go with that one.
I was thinking more Great Expectations.
You know? Okay.
I took a Dickensian approach to the whole matter. Yes. Torben, anything going on this week?
Not too much. I'm going to be babysitting my nieces.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's if you can make them laugh, then you can make anyone laugh, right?
Yeah, they're 5 and 9, and it's fun hanging out with them.
Kids are a tough audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all Jimmy hitting the drums for you. Come on.
Well, actually, they love pounding on stuff.
Fair enough. Torben, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy. What, you're not playing Yuck Yucks this week?
Not this week.
You know what? Shirking on the job, man.
I'll be back at it soon.
I can't wait. Yeah. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy, and hopefully we'll speak next week.
All right. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you, Torben. Yeah, that's Torben Rolfson, Vancouver comedian. Let's play some music, Jimmy. We're hitting that last call early tonight, aren't we, Jay?
Yeah,
We're going to go all Ottawa on you guys.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We're gonna go all Ottawa and end early. We'll take some calls, though.
Take a couple of calls?
When the phone lines die out, we'll call it a night.
All right.
Long distance, toll free, 1-866-896-2546. If you're in Montreal, it's 514-790-1690. This is the Kaufman Show. We've been playing hip all night for you. Come back, we've got the chef in Montebello. I bet he's going to tell us about a wild weekend in his town. Wouldn't want to smell that town right now. This is the Kaufman Show. This is Grace, too.
Listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, where all things being balanced, it's balanced and calm tonight. We are taking it easy. It has been a long day.
It has. It's a long weekend, too.
Yeah, I bet. And we're going to put it to bed early tonight, so we'll give you one more chance to get those calls in. 1-866-896-2546.
I got boxes to pack.
You got boxes to pack.
I got boxes to pack.
514-790-1690. Let's go to the chef in Montebello. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, boys. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just think about it. PK wins the NARS.
Yeah.
Mayor gets arrested. And to beat it all, I mean, the Kaufman Show gives birth to two new internet radio shows.
How cool is that, eh?
Incredibly cool. I'm just so happy for the three of you, the four of you, with Mr. Spry as well. It's going to be great to hear the Farrar side with the brothers together. How am I, as this individual that I am of a certain age, who isn't all that savvy on the internet, how am I going to... Well, I still have my 2 minutes of fame with you guys on your shows.
Yes, you will be able to call both of our shows. We will give you a website when the website is up and running, but it is through the Montreal Hockey Talk Gents.
Okay, cool. I follow them on Twitter, so I'll get all that information, obviously.
There you go.
Perfect. So you'll be able to tweet live as well. Tweets will be... Red.
That's right. Uncensored.
As we'll have a...
as well.
Yeah, a screen in studio and, yeah. It's
okay,
so say what you want, Chef. Let's hear that dirty mouth of yours.
No, you know us. We don't do things in half measures.
No,
we're gonna do something. We're going to do it right. And Jay and I are both committed to continuing the Kaufman Show as long as we are permitted into the studio. Excellent. Because we love this and we love working together, but this is a great opportunity for both of us.
It is.
And we're going to grab it by the you-know-whats and really, really try and make a difference.
It's great to hear. I hope it's going to be well organized. Unfortunately, the Montebello Rockfest this year. Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of organized, that was...
I don't know if you've heard anything over Twitter and stuff like
that. Yeah, I have. It was quite the commotion last night on Twitter about this festival in Montebello that seemed so unprepared for the amount of people who showed up.
Exactly. The numbers I heard today were 160,000 people. There were 80,000 people last year.
Yeah, you guys don't have the size for that.
No, because basically the same area has been used for... since the show started, about 6 or 7 years ago, when it started with 4,000 people, and it was
right.
Like, wow, this is full. And you basically had headliners of Marilyn Manson and Alice Cooper on the same evening.
But the grounds turned into a cesspool.
Well, it turned into a cesspool, basically, because Mother Nature rained on the damn place for the first 3 days before that, which is unfortunate, but, I mean, the same thing, it happens to be the lowest spot in town. It's next to the, down to the, by the docks and stuff like that, so that was all unfortunate, but there was just a lot of lack of communication and organizational skills for the people coming to actually get their bracelets for the weekend. We actually opened up our lawn for people to come and camp because...
Oh, good on you.
I had never seen anything like this. The whole town was really not completely... there was no way we could have been prepared because, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of information that didn't get out. He was actually told by people who have been working for Evenco for a long time, said, buddy, you got to stop selling tickets because your town just cannot take this many people.
Wow.
There were people actually parking along the side of the new Highway 50, which is an auto route.
Right.
Which is like 2 kilometers above the three or 4 kilometers above the town. And there was like lines of cars parked on both sides of the 148, 7 to 8 kilometers going each direction, east and west out of the town. People camping in their cars with their campers opened up on the side of the highway.
It sounds like Woodstock without naked people or bad acid.
It reminds me of Woodstock 99 as well. The same type of thing was happening as people were opening up their lawns as well there. What's the population of was around Rome, New York?
Yeah, it's because they're logistical nightmares.
Yeah. What's the population of Montebello anyway?
I think it's about 1,300 to 1,500 people. And maybe
jeez.
And 2,000 if you count the cemetery. And actually, there was like actually people camped out in the cemeteries. It sounds a little sacrilegious to say it, but there were people camped out in the back of cemeteries.
Wow.
Coming along. There's a place that was open.
Desperate times, right?
It was really, really, really crazy. But then again, a lot of the music was great. We had people, we made so many great friendships over this whole weekend from kids, and they just want to come back. Can we please come back and camp in your yard next year? And by the way, Anakin, I just wonder if you're still listening. I made some huge bro points with a lot of the youngins, knowing, saying that, yeah, I know Anakin Slade. Yeah, I met him at the Hurley's. I had a beer with him and stuff like that. It was just, really? You know Anakin Slade? Well, I said, what are you guys doing here? Hip-hop or what? He said, we love all types of music. And it was really, really refreshing with the weekend we had with the kids who were actually here. Very respectful. Put a garbage can out. They'll fill it up.
Hmm.
They'll put it out. Actually, across the street from my house is still a cesspool because it was actually one of the camping lots. But then again, the kids said they had 8x10 camping lots, but there was like 6 inches next to that was another 8x10 camping lot and another 8x10 camping lot.
Huh.
So they couldn't even have any room to actually sit around their tent. So they basically spent the weekend in our front yard, which was really cool, but I mean, fortunate for a lot of the kids, though.
Glad to hear they were using the garbage cans. We'll have no crying natives at the end of the ceremony of the festival.
Chef, thanks for the call, man. We'll speak soon.
Congrats, guys.
Thank you. Let's go to David in Montreal. Such a nice name. Hello, David.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, you?
Good. What's going on, man?
I'm looking to talk some baseball.
You want to talk baseball? I like baseball.
We all love baseball.
Well, many of us love baseball. Not enough of us love baseball. What do you want to talk about?
How about the Blue Jays?
Sure. They seem to be winning baseball games at a frenetic pace right now. They've won 6 in a row, right?
Indeed they have.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good right now. The team is undefeated since they signed Shenming Wang.
That's got to be it.
The power of the Wang?
That's it.
Well, look at that. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
You know who they're one game behind right now?
I would have to say the Tampa Bay Rays.
I don't think they are, but they are one game behind the Washington Nationals right now. Dave, I could not have put it better myself. Thanks for the call, man.
Same reaction I had.
Thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it. Let's go to Brad in Toronto. Toronto, that's a city, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, their mayor's not under arrest, right?
No, it's not.
All right. Hey, Brad, how's that non-under-arrest mayor working out for you?
I'm sure he'll be under arrest soon enough.
Oh, he better be. My goodness.
Imagine him and Applebaum sharing a cell. Just where did we go wrong, Rob?
Which one plays the harmonica?
I'm waiting to happen.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm waiting to happen.
Oh, wow. Ford and Applebaum.
Oh, man. Boys. I'm so jealous that your mayor is in jail right now. You have
Wait
no idea.
A second. Is this Canadian music legend Brad Ferguson?
Oh, come on. Dave.
How are you, buddy?
Good, man. I'm in Columbus, Ohio right now.
Well, it says Toronto. I mean...
Jimmy, why must you turn the studio into a house of lies?
You all remember Brad from being on the Kaufman Show last August. Brad was in studio with Nick Dyka from the Arkells,
sure,
one of the premier sound men in this country, and a heck of a tour manager. Well, you're charging like $2,000-$3,000 a day now, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. How was that little tour with the Stones? That must have been intense.
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, Mick and I are hanging out.
I bet. You guys have a lot in common.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll stick on the theme from before, Brad. I'm going to ask you, do you have faith in your Blue Jays again or yet?
Oh, come on. It's still, we're not even at the All-Star break. We're 5.5 back of the wild card right now. You know, there's still lots of time to make up a lot of games. And,
of course.
Reyes is coming back. You know, Lowry, I'm not sure I miss Lowry right now. He's not hitting at all. I'm glad they brought up Toley so, you know, they can hopefully put him in the lineup, get Aaron Seabee out of there because he's just not hitting. Especially after tonight. I don't know if you guys saw what happened in the eighth inning or not. Tonight.
No, what happened?
A couple of failed bunt attempts, and then he had a soft ground out, and then I think he got a little bit of lip from Gibby back in the dugout after the fact. So
okay.
Yeah, it's you know, there's a couple holes that got to figure themselves out, but with Reyes coming back, you know, soon enough, I think that'll be really, really good.
The rumor I heard yesterday, Brad, was that the Jays are going to make a play for Brian Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, not the Beach Boy, the baseball player.
Either would be good.
Yeah. yeah, right about now, why not?
Well, Brian, well, that'd be interesting. I don't know where he'd fit, though, because the bullpen has been so strong. So
that's true. In fact, the bullpen has been such an asset in the last 10, 12 games. It's they've been lights out.
Yeah, no, it's been a real strong point. Now the starters are actually, you know, throwing innings, so we haven't had to rely on them so much. So we'll see how they fare, you know, when they're not getting into games as much as the starters are going deep. But no, it's been a good week to be a Toronto Blue Jays fan.
Who are you on tour with in Columbus, Ohio?
I'm currently with Lights.
Okay.
We just had a show here tonight. We're playing in Chicago tomorrow. I'm home for a week, and then I go out with the Sheepdogs.
Oh, nice. Great band.
Yeah. Going to the UK, do a little bit of Europe, and then Canadian festivals throughout the summer. So
will we be seeing you in our neck of the woods this summer?
I don't know. I've got one show in Quebec City in July, but I think that's as close as I get to you.
That's a light show, or
that's Sheepdogs.
Amazing! I'm there. As long as I'm in town, I'm there.
Awesome. But Colin, I ran into our friend Ben Christensen.
Oh, cool!
When I was in Portland last week, and he's going to be in Buffalo on the 24th next week, and if you are up for a road trip, we're going to go see the Bisons play.
Oh, wow. That would be a lot of fun. Let me check the old schedule. There's a lot going on in the next few days.
I know you're busy, but...
Sorry, what day? Tuesday, you said? The 25th?
That's Monday, so
Monday.
I know Mondays are tough for you. So
yeah, Monday there's this little thing we do called the Kaufman Show. So how about we get...
We could take it on the road, no?
Yeah, we'll do a
be interesting,
remote,
wouldn't it?
Live from Buffalo.
Out of an RV in Buffalo.
Isn't that where they filmed... that's where they filmed Bull Durham.
That's right.
They pretended was Durham, North Carolina, but that movie was filmed... 25th anniversary of Bull Durham this week. And that movie was filmed at that stadium in Buffalo. I'm assuming it's the same stadium.
Pretty sure it is, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to Buffalo, but how about you guys do a live hit next week on the Kaufman Show, live from, what's Buffalo, the Emerald City?
The Emerald City.
The
big
armpit?
City.
Old Stinky Town? Now, what is Buffalo called? What is the name for Buffalo? There has to be a nickname. Somebody look this up for me. Jimmy, you on it? The city of...
No.
The city with... Jimmy?
Google indicates the city of good neighbors, the
there
queen city, the city of no illusions, the nickel city.
The city of no illusions.
There you go.
We have a winner. We will speak to you next week, Brad, with Shaka Brody, Benjamin Christensen, live from Buffalo, the city with no illusions. We know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're Buffalo.
Yes. And we're not fooling ourselves.
We are not Fort Erie. Brad, thanks for the call, man. Have a good night. Let's wrap up this evening with Travis from Asheville, North Carolina. Good evening, Travis. Welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Good evening, and congratulations, Dave and Jay.
Thank you very much.
It'll be nice to get even more of you two.
That's right. It's going to be nonstop Kaufman and Ferrara action.
And I believe the nickname
sort of sounds
of my clothes,
it's the prequel to the Dick Pound movie we were discussing.
Nice,
hour number one.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, Travis, as you were.
No, I was going to say I do believe that the nickname of Buffalo is in fact Hell.
Ah, that's the one. No, I thought that was Slough, England.
It could be. I've never been.
Okay. So what's going on, Travis? What can we do for you?
Well, quite a week up there, eh?
It has been an interesting week up here. Yes. Needless to say, a little bit of a surprise when I woke up this morning and heard that the mayor was under arrest. He was front and center at the Gary Carter Park renaming on Saturday.
And Strangers of in the Night later on.
Really?
Night.
He was there, too?
Yeah. It was his final hurrah.
He had a really nice Saturday. Hopefully the
kind
mayor...
Kind of a 25th hour thing going on.
That's right. You got to bed on Monday morning, asked his wife to punch him repeatedly in the face, and then you pack rang the bell at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Sorry. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So, yes, an interesting week, Travis.
Yeah, in comparison, the NSA thing's not that bad. I'm, of course, kidding. The NSA thing's pretty terrible, but what are you going to do?
When are you, aren't you moving up here one of these days?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit longer than I thought. Life is fun sometimes.
It sure is, man. Curveball after curveball, eh?
Yeah, well, this is more like an EFIS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you get imagine Aroldis Chapman, or even the Wild Thing Vaughn throwing 105 three straight, and then you get an EIP is about 15. That'll do it to you.
Yeah, well, it's how you deal with them, right? It's how it's at the end of the day, if you can look yourself in the mirror, then you're doing all right.
Yeah, and I have to say though, it'll be really it's nice to see you guys getting the recognition you deserve.
Thank you. We are so, Jay and I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks now, and we're so excited. I can't wait to hear what Jay and his brother can bring on a weekly basis, and I have every confidence that Mike Spry and I are going to really do something cool. And the battle between the Kaufman Show and Kaufman and Spry should be a pretty fun one. I look forward to that internal struggle every week to put who where and to do what at which place. Should be a lot of fun.
Just don't plagiarize from yourself.
I'll try not to. But you know what? At least I won't be sued that way. It'll just be me plagiarizing myself.
That's true.
That's what's fun about internet radio. Not liable. No ownership. No big corporations.
Yet, because I think we can all admit that it's the future.
It is the future.
Travis, thanks for the call, buddy.
Indeed.
We'll speak to you soon.
You both have a nice weekend.
You too. I like that, being wished a nice weekend on a Monday. That always makes me really happy.
It's kind of my weekend right now.
I know. It
kind of counts
like
for me.
Too.
Maybe he was just thinking about me, Dave. Maybe that. Okay?
It's not so far-fetched to be thinking about the Ferrar side.
Or to be on the Ferrar
you
side.
You do it all the time.
Yeah, I am.
Follow my co-host, Jay Farrar, at the Ferrar side on Twitter. I'm at the Kaufman Show, and I'm also plugging this new account called Kaufman and Spry. We're going to be doing stuff very differently, and we can't wait. Jimmy, thank you. Thanks to John Kakalakis. And Jay, we'll see you next week.
Hell yeah.
And I'll see you all at the hip on Saturday night.
Listen up, kid, it's Now won't you think, stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink, walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, now I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. You saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. Will you hold a grudge anyway? Because it's fun. Davey and me face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman. See you next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?